Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
If you're like me and suffer from insomnia, you know what? That's not fun. You know, I tried everything. I couldn't get a good night's sleep. And this is neither drug nor alcohol induced. That's right. It is MyPillow. Mike Lindell invented it, and he fitted me for my first MyPillow, and it's changed my life. I fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and the good news, you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code Sean, and take advantage of one of Mike Lindell's best offers, his special four-pack. You get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, no risk to you, and a 10-year warranty. You don't want to spend more sleepless nights on a pillow tossing and turning that's not working for you. Just go to MyPillow.com right now. Use the promo code Sean, and you get Mike Lindell's special four-pack. You get two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows, 50% off, and you'll start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep you've been craving and deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Sean. All right, happy Monday. A lot of, a lot of moving parts today. This is going to get very, very interesting. I'm getting wind that, in fact, we might hear by tonight that the House Intel Committee has actually finished the investigative part of their probe, and I'm working my sources now, and that they might be, as of tonight, releasing some initial findings about the probe. And my sources, which are pretty high up, are insisting that one of the big headlines that will come out tonight is no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion. They're also dealing with a lot of the leaks issues that have been coming out. What is the media going to do tonight? I thought you were talking to me. You know, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? 18 months of hysteria. 18 months of breathless reporting. 18 months. Don Jr. That's all we've heard. I mean, that's your media. Journalism is dead. All right, so we're going to get a report. Sarah Carter's working her sources now. Greg Jarrett's working his sources. I just spoke with both of them. They're hearing the same thing I'm hearing. And when that news comes out, that's going to be very, very good news for everybody. If you want to know how bad the media is, I was stunned. I didn't even believe it. I thought it was fake news. I thought there's no way possible. But it's true. A former executive of the New York Times admitting that she keeps a little plastic Obama doll in her purse for comfort. This is Jill Abramson from Comfort from Donald Trump's America. It's easy to look at what's happening in Washington, D.C. and despair, she writes in an op-ed. That's why I carry a little plastic Obama doll in my purse. By the way, can somebody get a Obama doll and we can mail it to Chris Matthews so he can have lots of little thrills going up and down his leg all day and all night long? Anyway, I pull him out every now and then, remind myself that the United States had a progressive African-American president until very recently.
The feeling most people get when they hear a Barack Obama speech, I felt this thrill going up my leg.
Now, some people find it strange, but you have to take comfort where you can find it in Donald Trump's America. And the former Times editor revealed her political bias as it is thrilling to watch signs of a Trump rebellion as the 2018 midterms approach. This is insane. And Trump was on fire. We're going to play it later in the program. I won't delve into it now because we have a lot going on today. But the president this weekend was just all over the media, all over Chuck Todd, you know, sleepy-eyed son of a bitch that he is, blah, blah, blah. Chuck Todd was very offended by it. I teach my children not to ever say those words. Everybody lies. There's not one person I've ever met in the media that doesn't, you know, curse left and right. They're all full of crap. Everybody's feigning this outrage, constant feigning of outrage. It's just false. It's a lie. You know it's a lie. And what do they do when they find out there's no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion? What are they going to do? And with all of the investigative work that we've done, yeah, we found evidence of collusion. The bought and paid for Clinton dossier with phony Russian lies to manipulate the election and the American people. And then it's used for a FISA warrant against Trump campaign associate Carter Page and the Trump campaign so they can spy on a campaign in the lead up to a presidential election. And that was the bulk of the the bulk of evidence that they had presented to the FISA court. They don't tell the FISA court judges, both in the initial application, three subsequent renewals, that in fact Hillary had paid for this. Poor Chucky Todd, he's really upset. You know, it's like a pity party. You know, these people, they're going to go into a state of depression when this information comes out tonight. They're not going to be able to handle any of this. Now, there is a big, the president was in the 18th congressional district where this guy, Rick Saccone, is running as a Republican there to help boost his campaign. Later on, Donald Trump Jr. is going to check in with us today, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But, you know, it was interesting to watch the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette's endorsement for tomorrow's special election of Rick Saccone, Saccone versus Connor Lamb. Now, this is a newspaper that endorsed John Kerry in 2004, Obama in 08 and 2012. They didn't endorse Hillary in 2016 or Trump, and they didn't like either candidate, so they offered a voter's guide instead. And this year, the same paper that refused to back Trump last year endorsed Obama twice, and John Kerry has endorsed the Republican Rick Saccone. And I think the reasoning is worth paying attention to, especially since Connor Lamb is pretending to be a pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, pro-Trump tariff, anti-Nancy Pelosi Democrat. They all say that. They're all lying. Because when push comes to shove, whatever the bill happens to be, Nancy Pelosi will be twisting arms and demanding their vote, and she's going to get it. That's the same with Claire McCaskill. She's going to go back to Missouri this year and try and sound conservative and independent. She's not. She's anything but. And the same thing with Joe Manchin in West Virginia. The Post, anyway, goes on that, meanwhile, while Rick Saccone's opponent is an impressive young man and is running an energetic campaign, there's another consideration. If Lamb wins, it could well be the start of a Democratic wave. Well, they said that was going to happen in Texas. The prospect of a Democratic House may please partisans, but it might be bad for the country. And the Gazette goes on that the Democrats in the House have only one agenda item at the moment, and it's not health care or jobs. It's impeachment. Regardless of whether one likes the president or his policies, one must ask what the consequences for the country will be if we dive into so great a distraction. Mr. Lamb styles himself a moderate Democrat who supports gun rights and personally opposes abortion. He's also attempted to distance himself from Nancy Pelosi and says he wouldn't vote for her to lead the party, but who would he vote for? That's a good point. There are no conservative Democrats in Washington. Anyway, so that's a pretty interesting development that we're following pretty closely. I don't know if you're watching what's going on in Austin, Texas, but it's a little bit chilling. And now we have a police responding to another explosion in Austin where a badly injured woman hours after a package bomb killed a teenager and wounded a woman in a different part of the city. Anyway, Austin Travis County EMS tweeted out that an explosion Monday in southeast Austin injured a woman in her 70s, had been hospitalized, potentially life-threatening injuries, and a second woman from that address had been hospitalized, unrelated medical issue. And then authorities say a package exploded inside an Austin home on Monday, killing a teenager and wounding another woman, is believed to be linked to the deadly package sent to another home in Austin earlier this month. Sounds like we've got a mail bomber on our hands here. And I don't know. We don't see anything in terms of any political connections now, but we're going to get into that a little bit at the bottom of the hour with our guests. You want to stay tuned for that. There is a new poll that came out that said the Democratic blue wave is going to crash onto Republican insurgence. Now, resurgence, it should be. Although the Democrats have been hoping for the big blue wave, there's no evidence they have it. I think the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette nailed it. They don't stand for anything. The Democratic Party stands for nothing. And if you go back and look at the Obama years, and there's nobody that's been more critical than Republicans in the last few years than me. I can't stand them. They're weak. They're inept. They're visionless. But at least Trump has given them some backbone. At least we've gotten some things done. Large party's done it all alone by himself in terms of getting rid of burdensome regulation, putting America on a path towards energy independence. You know, we got 3 million jobs created. We've been able to reverse the trend of, 13 million additional Americans on food stamps under Obama. Well, 2 million are now off of food stamps. We have fewer people in poverty. We have the lowest African-American Hispanic unemployment in history now going on in the country. One of the lowest unemployment numbers the country's ever seen. And now we have the highest labor participation rate than the lowest that we've had in the 70s. So things are turning around dramatically. And at the end of the day, I don't think Americans are going to really care too much about the tweets or what the president says or that he takes on the media, because they want peace and prosperity and they want jobs and they want their pocketbooks to get bigger. 1,002, you know, there's over, you know, 5 million Americans already that have seen significant changes to their paycheck every week. That's a big deal for people. And 90% of American workers are going to see a significant tax cut as a result of the president's plan. So all of this talk about the blue wave is a little bit premature, even regardless of what happens tomorrow in Pittsburgh. Although I would highly remind people and recommend to people that they stick with the Republican, if for no other reason, is the Post-Gazette is right. All they're going to do is try and impeach this president. There'll be no progress in this country if Nancy Pelosi is the speaker. None. Everything that will get done will get done this 2 years, and then that's it. Be a big mistake and a big reversal. And why would you expect anything else than what the Democrats did the last time? You know, you've got the president's agenda. You got in California, the president's heading out there tomorrow to look at different border wall prototypes. He's moving ahead. I'm going to talk to the vice president tonight on Hannity on the Fox News channel. But, you know, the prototypes are actually pretty interesting. They got some prototypes. Some of the Border Patrol agents want to be able to see the other side. They had one model that actually had solar panels on top of them, which cracked me up. And so the president's going to go out and look at them. The president does have the authority on his own to move in another direction. In other words, for funding, if he can't get Congress support, he offered DACA. DACA in exchange for fully funding the wall, ending chain migration, and ending the visa lottery program, both of which have resulted in crimes against Americans. I wonder at what point they're going to do something about what's happening with this Oakland mayor. That ought to be interesting. The CIA chief says the U.S. hasn't made a single concession to North Korea. CIA Director Mike Pompeo. I actually like Pompeo. He's a smart guy. You know, he graduated like number one in his class, I think, at Harvard. Really smart guy. I got to meet him not that long ago. I actually went in the Langley building for the first time. You ever see the Bourne movies? And you know that big, you know, overhead shot that looks down? CIA. I got to stand on that. I thought that was pretty cool. If I wasn't doing this, that would be a job I'd like. I'd like to work in spy stuff. Oh, I'd probably have to learn how to download an app before they'd hire me, which would be pretty hard. We have more good economic news. Manufacturing growth has now hit a 20-year high. 20-year high. You have over $500 billion already committed to building new places. The Democrats are having a very hard time. How are they going to deal with their ally, Louis Farrakhan? And now that you have this Jewish coalition in Washington saying, you guys better resign because you're hanging out with the biggest racist anti-Semite in the country. It was interesting to watch Felipe Reins, who is Hillary Clinton's former spokesman. He played Donald Trump in debate prep sessions with Clinton during the 2016 campaign. And he said on Saturday, if Trump's reelected in 2020, it wouldn't surprise him a bit.
Well, I have to admit, I didn't enjoy the walk down memory lane as much as David did. But I had three things that I thought. First is, yes, boy, does Donald Trump know how to keep an audience in the palm of his hands. It actually is remarkable to watch. Second, I understand why that man won in 2016. And I understand, I'm not terrified, but I understand why he may very well win again in 2020.
Ouch. That's got to hurt to have him say that. All right, if you just joined us, we are expecting that the House Intelligence Committee is finishing the investigative part of their probe. They're going to release some initial findings. We're told not till after this radio program, but before we get on TV tonight. And I have it on pretty good authority that their conclusion, their initial report, is going to say there is no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion. Now, what does the media do? Oh, never mind. Oh, we're sorry. All that hysteria, all that breathless reporting. Now, Catherine Herridge is also discovering something that's pretty interesting, how investigators are seeking answers from a former staffer of crazy Uncle Joe Biden, whose husband works for Fusion GPS. And a source familiar with the matter confirmed to Fox News that Shayla Murray was a Biden former deputy chief of staff communications director before serving as a senior advisor to President Obama, may have had a role in handling the dossier. Now, the questionnaire from Republican Chairman Devin Nunes of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence is going to ask when Murray became aware of the dossier commissioned by opposition research firm Fusion GPS. By the way, from what I understand, this whole FISA abuse is separate and apart from the so-called investigation into collusion, which is non-existent. There's been no evidence. This will explain a lot, by the way, why Adam Schiff said on The View, we don't have any evidence, and said one other time, we don't have any evidence. Why Dianne Feinstein has said it repeatedly, and nobody wants to pay attention, including all the top intelligence officials. I'm also told that they're going to be digging deep into who the leakers have been to the press and elsewhere of classified information, which is not a good thing for Hillary. Now, this is all on top of what we learned last week, that the attorney general has appointed a former DOJ investigator to be looking into all of these matters, FISA abuse, and so on and so forth, which I think is probably a prelude to a special counsel in terms of investigating the investigators. There's a lot of people here that are going to end up in a lot of trouble over all of this if we do the investigation the right way. Because what we know now about the dossier bought and paid for, what we know now is not telling FISA court judges about Hillary paying for this. What we know now is trying to deceive the court and suggest that there were two independent sources corroborating what the Steele dossier had said when it was Christopher Steele in both cases. You don't lie to a judge. Let me tell you something I know about judges. They don't like being lied to. And they don't like it if you say, yeah, yes, Your Honor. Good luck if you go in the other direction. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. I want to bring you up to speed on another breaking news story. This is pretty scary. Third explosion in Austin after two package bombs are linked. And so investigators in Austin, Texas, believe that a package bomb that killed a teenager and wounded a woman in Austin earlier today is linked to a similar bombing that killed a man elsewhere in the city about 11 days ago. And they're considering, you know, what the underlying factor might be here, whether race is a factor, as all the victims are Black Americans. And shortly after the police chief, Brian Manley, held a news conference in which he linked the Monday, this morning's attack that killed a 17-year-old boy and injured a woman with a March 2nd attack that killed a 39-year-old man. Authorities rushed to the scene of another blast that badly injured a woman. And authorities haven't said what the most recent blast was caused by, a package bomb, or if the victim, like those killed or injured in the two confirmed bombings in that particular case. We don't have any connections whatsoever. Now, you remember how many years it took to find Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. That was the guy that was an environmental nut. It took a long time to find that guy. These are not easy crimes to solve. Anyway, Randy Sutton is the national spokesperson for Blue Lives Matter, and he's the host of Blue Lives Radio, a 33-year-old police detective and lieutenant for former NYPD Commissioner Bernie Kerik. Thank you both for being with us. Bernie, this type of activity scares me because you just never know when it's coming. I mean, we had after 9/11, we had the anthrax scare, and we had Ted Kaczynski years ago that he was involved in these type of mail bombings. I would have thought by now, though, that every item that goes through the mail is checked.
Well, I think they're going to have to determine how this stuff is getting delivered at this point, number one. Number two, you never know when it's coming. And number three, the links, they've already determined that they're linked, so they have evidence that proves in some way that that's the case, which means they have some stuff to look at as far as who this may be and what their intent is. But for the time being, I think within that six-mile radius of where the first package was delivered several days ago and the ones today, I think they have to make sure that people are notified to watch what you're getting delivered, watch what's on your doorstep, and if you see anything suspicious, make sure you tell somebody.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that you're right about the 6 mile radius. It sounds like it's very Austin specific, Bernie. But and I know you have you certainly have residual or residue that you can look at forensically. But this is the type of thing where, you know, it's kind of hard to pinpoint where these things begin and where they come from.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, it depends on what evidence is available after the explosive is detonated. So it's really good. You know, they'll have ATF involved, who are the world's renowned, investigators when it comes to this stuff. They'll be the ones that take over the investigation. And then, you know, I personally, Kaczynski was years ago. The technology they have today in finding and putting this kind of investigation together is a lot better than it was 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah. What's your take, Randy Sutton? What are the police looking for at this early stage and hopefully getting this guy fast?
Well, each bomb has its own signature, and bombers have their own signature. That's what Bernie was alluding to. When they're looking at the makeup of the residue of what and the forensic evidence, they can tell quite a bit about the bomber because of their individual signatures. Now, in this particular case, you were talking about Kaczynski. Kaczynski mailed and packaged his bombs. These appear to be they've already discerned that no package deliveries services were involved in this, especially on the last one. The chief talked about. So that means that you can contain this investigation to a smaller area, which is helpful for the investigators. And now they're going to be doing the victimology. This is what's going to determine if there is a link between any of the victims. And this is going to be essential to the investigation to determine if there is a link to them, then that link can be followed back to the suspect.
Yeah. I guess it's always hard. I mean, you're looking for any agenda, any reason. The fact that it's local in one area, does that give you any in your mind? Where does your investigative mind go with that, Bernie Kerik?
Sean, the one thing that I think will be beneficial here, as I touched on a minute ago, is the technology.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, you know, you have today this technology, these Ring doorbells that take visuals, that capture visuals when somebody rings a doorbell at your house. Well, keep in mind, if there's any of that technology in that neighborhood, that data can be collected by the authorities, number one. And number two, keep in mind there's cameras everywhere today. If this stuff was not delivered by the postal system, FedEx, or UPS, if it was delivered by hand, I would bet that there's a possibility that the delivery man was captured, the person who delivered this stuff was captured on some device somewhere, and they're going to be able to determine that.
Yeah, that's where we're looking. Randy, last thought from you.
Well, these are very frightening type of events, and if it is determined that this is race related, this is going to cause a massive ripple effect within the community. So this is something that really needs to be determined quickly, because it needs to either be laid to rest, or if this is the fact, then that is going to be a great part of the investigative process.
All right, we really appreciate both of you being with us, Randy Sutton and Bernie Kerik, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number if you want to be a part of the program. We're going to get to calls here in just a minute. One of the things that the Attorney General said is we're going to use every lawful tool we have against the Oakland mayor. Now, I would bet when the president heads out to California tomorrow that the president is going to have an awful lot to say. Now, he's looking at varying prototypes of the type of wall that he actually wants to start building on the southern border. Now, remember, we've already been in the process of not only just building new parts of the wall, but fixing the old, dilapidated parts of the wall that need some repairing. So we're going to watch that. If you missed our top story at the beginning of the program, I think this is probably the biggest significant development that we have had. The House Intelligence Committee has literally finished the investigative part of their probe, and we're expected, before I get on air tonight on Hannity, that there's going to be some initial findings, and we're expecting that one of the things we're going to learn tonight is the House Intel Committee has found no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion. and that there is a lot of evidence that people linked to the Obama administration were leaking their eyeballs out here, a lot of which probably is going to end up in the realm of being illegal. One interesting development, I saw this on bizpacreview.com, and the headline is former national security official says the original plot, this is as it relates to the women urinating in the bed, the Steele dossier in Europe, apparently was for Senator McCain to take that information. Remember, he's the one that brought it to the FBI. And apparently his rivalry with President Trump, you know, was so deep that he initially had planned to confront Trump with what was in the uncorroborated, unverified Steele dossier in order to make him resign. Anyway, this shows up in the New Yorker, a detailed profile of Christopher Steele, a former national security official, says that the longtime McCain associate, David Kramer, had hatched a plot whereby John McCain would confront Donald Trump with the unverified document and pressure him to resign from office. And Kramer is a, quote, Russian expert, former State Department official, received the dossier directly from Glenn Simpson, the guy from Fusion GPS, one of the co-founders. And upon receiving the document, McCain in turn handed it over to the FBI director, James Comey. Now, this would be in December of 2016, by which time the Bureau had already had access to it. And we know that because we now know from the Grassley-Graham memo that the bulk of the information that was put in the FISA application was, in fact, that unverified, uncorroborated dossier. And according to the New Yorker, Kramer intended to use the document to force President Trump to step down before he ever got into office. Quote, after Kramer promised to share the document only with McCain, Steele arranged for Kramer to receive a copy in Washington. But a former national security official who spoke with Kramer at the time told me that one of Kramer's ideas was to have McCain confront Trump with the evidence in the hope that Trump would resign. He would tell Trump, the Russians got you, according to the official involved with this. In other words, first thing, nobody corroborated it. Nobody verified it. Fusion GPS, Glenn Simpson said he didn't do it. Nobody corroborated. Nobody's been able to corroborate it to this date, and we still have 20 months later. You've got a million people out there trying to corroborate what never happened. You know, two hookers in the Ritz-Carlton in Moscow urinating on Donald Trump's bed. That's what they're trying to corroborate. Anyway, the New Yorker goes on and notes that the lawyer for Kramer denied the claim from the unnamed national security officials, saying that his client never planned to have the president resign. You know, Christopher Steele, he never corroborated it, obviously. And he got paid a lot of money. Anyway, there was a Wall Street Journal piece that came out. Trump's lawyers seek deal with Mueller to speed an end of the Russian probe. Well, maybe that'll happen naturally now. If, in fact, this report that the House Intel Committee has some initial findings saying no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion. The only problem, this is the biggest problem with special counsels, especially politically motivated special counsels like Robert Mueller's. You got all these political appointments, all these people that hate Trump, all these people that donated to Obama, Hillary, and the DNC. You've got a guy with a record that is just absolutely the most flagrant record I've ever seen of anybody abuse of power. And that's Andrew Weissman. You know, he ends up losing tens of thousands of Americans their jobs at Anderson Accounting. And then he's overturned 9-0 in the U.S. Supreme Court, which virtually never happens. And then he sends four top Merrill executives to jail. That gets overturned. And this is Robert Mueller's pit bull, according to the New York Times. And now we're going to find out tonight, okay, no evidence. And by the way, the CIA director, Mike Pompeo, said, a very smart guy. I like Pompeo. I think he'd be good in any position. He's brilliant. Anyway, he said there's no indication of any Russian meddling changing the 2016 election outcome. So everybody has said the same thing. There's smoke, but there's no fire. There's smoke, but there's no fire. There's no evidence. No, it didn't impact the election in any way. And here it is, the country is divided, and the media has been obsessed with this for 18 months. And I can imagine tonight they're not going to be highlighting this is the big story, that they were wrong. Because if you ask even Adam Schiff can't come up with any evidence of Trump-Russia collusion. Nobody can because there isn't any.
You said you had more than circumstantial evidence of treasonous collusion with Russia. What specifically were you referring to? And please be specific, because if it's true, I do believe Americans have the right to know a year later what that is.
Well, I certainly said that there's ample evidence of collusion. I've never used the word treason. Only Steve Bannon has used that word. If you look at the facts that are already in the public domain, they're pretty damning.
Is it enough for Mueller to bring charges? Because if it isn't enough for Mueller to bring charges, what does that mean?
Well, what it means...
Charges of collusion.
This is a very important question, and that is, what's Mueller's job and what's our job? Mm-hmm. Bob Mueller will make the decision whether there is proof beyond a reasonable doubt to indict and convict people. It is not his responsibility to tell the country what happened.
Oh, it's their responsibility. A political hack like Adam Schiff is going to tell us. It was interesting, the New York Times, a lot of Democrats seem to be friends with Louis Farrakhan. Even Obama had his picture taken. That was hidden from view since 2008, since before the election. You know, here's a guy that is, you know, literally in every single way unbelievable in terms of his racism and his anti-Semitism. All right, we'll get back to all of this at the top of the hour. We're going to get Sarah Carter's been digging deep. What's going on in the House Intel Committee? What's going to be in this report? Is it coming out tonight? Will it say, in fact, there's no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion? So we're literally waiting now for something that's been 18 months in the making that we've known for 18 months. But now the media will have to admit that which they reported is wrong. All right, we just got an update in these Austin bombings. They're saying that all three bombings, the two today and one about 11 days ago, are all connected. So far, police are saying no possible motive that they found. The ATF is bringing in their national response team, and all three incidents have occurred at residences. And the Austin PD is telling everybody, and if you're in Austin, know somebody in Austin, tell them for us that to call 911 if they receive a suspicious package, which just makes sense. It all seems to be confined to this six-mile radius, as Bernie Kerrig was telling us. All right, when we come back, we've got big news. It appears the House Intel Committee has finished the investigative part of their so-called Russian probe. We are told, and Sarah Carter and Greg Jarrett will join us next, that initial findings will show no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion. We'll see if that's the word they're getting. Those are what my sources are telling me. Anyway, we'll get to that coming up next. Ollie North and Don Jr. straight ahead.
If you look at the facts that are already in the public domain, they're pretty damning, starting with what we know about George Papadopoulos, one of the few foreign policy advisors to the campaign. We now know that Papadopoulos was approached by the Russians and told back in April of the election year, even before the Clinton campaign knew, that the Russians had stolen Clinton and DNC emails. And we also know that they previewed their dissemination, the anonymous dissemination of those emails with Papadopoulos back in April. Now, it was only weeks later that the Russians made a second approach to the Trump campaign, this time at the highest levels at Trump Tower, in a meeting that they previewed by saying that they wanted to offer incriminating information about Hillary.
Well, I have great respect for Mr. Gowdy and Chairman Goodlatte, and we're going to consider seriously their recommendations. I have appointed a person outside of Washington many years in the Department of Justice to look at all the allegations that the House Judiciary Committee members sent to us, and we're conducting that investigation. I also am well aware that we have a responsibility to ensure the integrity of the FISA process. We're not afraid to look at that. The Inspector General, some think that our Inspector General is not very strong, but he has almost 500 employees, most of which are lawyers and prosecutors, and they are looking at the FISA process. We must make sure it's done properly, and we're going to do that, and I'll consider their request.
All right, that was the Attorney General last week, and now we have a lot of new developments that are happening even in this hour. Glad you're with with us. Hour two, Sean Hannity Show. Toll free, our number is 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. Now, last week we discovered that, yeah, in fact, there is an FBI investigation, Arkansas, in their bureau down there where they're looking into Uranium One, and Sessions now saying that he had appointed somebody that had a lot of experience in the DOJ looking into the issue of FISA abuses, as requested by Chairman Goodlatte and Trey Gowdy. So we're watching that story, and we're expecting in about 2 hours, I have some of my sources confirming that, in fact, that the House Intel Committee has finished the investigative part in their investigation into so-called Trump-Russia collusion, and that they will be releasing about in 2 hours from now initial findings and recommendations. And my sources are telling me that one of the big headlines that will come out tonight is that there's no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion. Anyway, that is huge news, although I doubt the media is going to go on TV tonight and say, it looks like we were wrong. It looks like 18 months of reporting is wrong. Maybe it gives us a reason why Adam Schiff twice now, including about a week and a half ago, saying, well, we really don't have any evidence of that, which was the whole purpose for the appointment of the special counsel in the beginning. Joining us to discuss is Sarah Carter, Fox News contributor, investigative reporter, Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst. Sarah, I don't know if you're hearing the same things I've been hearing today, but apparently they're done. They're finished with the investigative portion of what they've been looking at as it regards Trump-Russia collusion, and they don't find any.
Absolutely. That is what they discovered. That will come out today. My sources are saying the same thing, and I think the sources that I've been speaking with, they would have direct knowledge of this. So one of the parts of the investigation that they feel has been concluded is the fact that there was absolutely no collusion between Trump's campaign, President Trump, anyone associated with him, and the Russians. And that'll be part of their findings. They are also going to have significant other parts of that investigation that are coming out, significant findings. What I can say right now, it's regarding leaks, and they will be revealing some leak investigations into this, some of what they've discovered.
I hear that a lot of former top Obama officials in the intel community are going to be named. Specific names will be coming out.
Yes, specific names will be coming out. They're going to be focused on, you know, who leaked information to the media, why that information was so significant, why it played a role in spreading disinformation, particularly disinformation about President Trump, and the effects that had, because there was a significant snowball effect, as you know, when it comes to leaks to the media and how it was played out, and then basically how this disinformation became information that the American public was fed over and over and over again in 2017 that attempted to say there was collusion between President Trump and the Russians, when in all actuality, there's been no evidence of that whatsoever.
Now, what about the issue of FISA, and what about the issue of hacking? Do they have any conclusions, or is that going to be part of what they're talking about when they release these initial findings?
There is going to be some talk of that. Now, what I know from the sources I've been speaking with, and I have spoken to sources over at the Justice Department, and I want to go back to that because it's very significant. Remember, the Justice Department has appointed a prosecutor to look into particularly the FISA and the application and how that was handled and whether or not the FBI was forthright in that application. So that's going to be very significant, and I expect to find something out this week more about who that prosecutor is and where they intend to go from this. But this is what's really important here. There's still an ongoing investigation into that. Whether or not the House Intelligence Committee can gather enough information to get that out in this amount of time, I'm not sure. But I know that they are going to touch on that in this report.
Let me go to the legal side of this, Greg Jarrett. First, it would be massive news if their initial finding is there's no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion, and they will say that tonight, if in fact that comes out tonight, and I'm hearing it will. But more importantly, on the issue of leaks, if there are people that were involved in leaking information, like, for example, about the dossier, is that a violation of law?
It is, depending upon the nature of the leak, the information provided. I think you're going to end up finding people like John Brennan and maybe Clapper and Susan Rice and Samantha Power may have been behind some of the media leaks. And if they leaked and unmasked at the same time, that's a crime. So there may be a referral by the Intelligence Committee for the Department of Justice to investigate that.
There's been a lot of rumors running around. Well, let me stay focused on this. If somebody leaked classified information, and I believe at one point the dossier, nobody had known anything about it. And when that information came out, would that have been considered classified?
Yes, it certainly would have. And so if, for example, Brennan and others leaked information, which was part of a classified counterintelligence investigation by the FBI, it's absolutely a crime.
I've always said that I believe that Clapper and Brennan are up to their eyeballs in all of this. Sarah, what are your thoughts?
Oh, well, I think it's a good judgment to make, Sean, because all you have to do is look back. Who were the people that briefed then President-elect Trump and President Obama on the dossier? There was just a handful of very senior Obama administration officials. We know that Brennan was there. We know Clapper was there. We know Mike Rogers was there. And we know Comey was there. So here's four potential people that were discussing the dossier. Now, did someone else know about it? I'm sure there were other people within, and we know now, within the Obama administration that had information on this dossier, that were involved in the dossier. That's why this investigation into the dossier is so important. And you're right. The dossier was the snowball effect, right? Once the dossier was leaked, once information that they were briefed, that meaning both former President Obama and President-elect Trump were briefed on the dossier, that's the snowball effect. That's when everybody in the media began to pick up this dossier and information that was collected, and what Comey himself said during that briefing was a salacious and unverified dossier. Now what we know is that they use that as the bulk of their application for the FISA warrant on Carter Page. And that's extremely important because that happened months after. So they were briefed in January 2017. That's when they were briefed. Months before that, the dossier was used to get a warrant to spy on Carter Page. Well, if it was salacious and unverified, how did you use an unverified piece of information as the bulk of your evidence to get permission from the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court to spy on people in the Trump campaign?
And Greg, they lied about it. They knew it was bought and paid for by Hillary. And right. I think the person that briefed the president was James Comey himself. This was in January before the president was inaugurated in 2017. But Sarah's absolutely right. Back in October, weeks before the election, the bulk of that FISA warrant included that dossier, according to the Grassley Graham memo. So, you know, did Comey lie then to the court, or did he lie to Trump?
Well, either way, he's in a load of trouble for crimes, because lying to a court and deceiving a judge is at least six different felonies. And so I think you'll see not just James Comey, but others who were involved in signing off on this, including the deputy FBI director, Andrew McCabe, and maybe even Rod Rosenstein, unless he didn't do his homework and he can just say I'm incompetent and negligent. But, you know, as to the principal findings of the Intelligence Committee, no collusion between the Russians and the Trump campaign, that was a predictable outcome. There was never any evidence of collusion. And moreover, collusion in a political campaign with a foreign government is not a crime unless money is exchanged. So we always knew it was a fraud, a subterfuge. When the FBI, and the FBI knew this as well, and they knew they couldn't launch a criminal investigation, so instead they did something clever. They launched a counterintelligence investigation, which is only the gathering of evidence about foreign espionage, and they used that as a pretext to investigate Trump, and that was wrong. So not only did they break the regulations that guide the FBI, but they also broke the law in the process.
What about this report from Bloomberg today that Mueller is set to suspend the obstruction of justice investigation and go back to collusion on a day that we're going to hear that there was no Trump-Russia collusion? I mean, that makes no sense. And then it raises a lot of questions about how the original mandate of the special counsel has gone so far awry. And so it's so different than what it started out to be. It was supposed to be about Trump-Russia collusion. Now, you know, right. We're into the finances. Who met this banker, that banker? And, oh, did anybody obstruct justice because they're asking questions about this whole thing?
There were no limits or parameters in the special counsel appointment, and that was one of its many flaws. The other was they had to have articulable facts, and they had none to support a crime. So there never should have been a special counsel. The appointment of Mueller was illegal in violation of the special counsel statute. So, but as to the Bloomberg report, I find it very interesting. If Mueller has abandoned obstruction of justice in the firing of Comey or the discussion about Flynn.
But wait a minute. We know that Comey, the president has absolute power to fire an FBI right. agent for any reason. Isn't that true?
Then, yes, that means that Mueller finally grasped the obvious, that it's not obstruction. The president has constitutional authorities to fire anybody in the executive branch, including James Comey. And that's what Comey himself admitted in his letter to employees.
We seem
so
to forget that.
It seems as though Mueller has given it up.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back more with Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett. We'll know a lot more after 6 o'clock tonight. We're expecting that there's going to be an announcement from the House Intelligence Committee that they may have, in fact, finished the investigative part of their probe, and they might be releasing initial findings tonight. My source is telling me that there is one finding, no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion. After all this time, the obvious is now discovered. We'll continue more with Sarah Carter, more with Greg Jarrett. All right, as we continue, Sarah Carter, investigative reporter, Fox News analyst and contributor, Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst. Sarah, I want to go back to what Greg was just talking about here and this big news that we expect that the House Intel Committee is going to release initial findings as it relates to their investigation, and that the investigative part of their probe is over.
Yes, it appears that they are going to do that today, and they will make a judgment that there was never any collusion between President Trump, President Trump's campaign, and the Russians. I mean, look, this has been going on since 2016. There has yet to be any evidence. We know Senator Feinstein's spoken about this openly on a number of occasions when she's been asked. Even Adam Schiff, Representative Adam Schiff, the Democrat from California, who's been headstrong and trying to propagate this idea that there has been some type of collusion between Trump and the Russians. He's had to admit under direct questioning that they still don't have any evidence of it. I think that the American public is exhausted from it. I think that the, you know, particularly people on the House Intelligence Committee that have weighed in and looked into this have yet to see any evidence of that. So they are certainly going to wrap this up today as far as that's concerned for them. I think there will be more information in this House Intelligence report that was, some of it is unexpected, others may be expected, particularly dealing with leaks coming out on President Trump, as well as leaks that have gone to the media.
I'm almost out of time. Will this lead to another special counsel, Greg?
It could, but I was heartened by the fact that Sessions said he appointed somebody outside Washington, D.C. to investigate all of these things. Now, if the Department of Justice can do it on its own, fairly and neutrally, than they should.
Do you think that was a sign he was saying that we're all over this?
Yeah, I don't trust anything. I don't trust the competence and capability of Jeff Sessions. But if it's in the hands of somebody who is, then I think that's a good sign.
All right. Thank you both for being with us. We appreciate it. We'll have a lot more by the time we get on the air at 9 tonight. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. Donald Trump Jr. coming up, Colonel North coming up.
So our slogan, this is a team, our new slogan will be, and you know, this is on the assumption it happens, which I'm almost positive, can never be 100% sure. I never like to go too far in advance, but let's assume it's going like it's going. By the way, if we coasted for 2.5 years, we did a hell of a job. You know that. In fact, I was telling some of the guys, let's just coast, because the stock market is up almost 40% since Election Day. Think of that. Almost 40%. Think of that. But our new slogan, when we start running in, can you believe it, 2 years from now, is going to be Keep America Great, exclamation point, Keep America Great. But we can only do that if we elect people who are going to back our agenda and fight for our values. Lots of good things I think are going to happen, but we'll see. But the funny thing, so they announced that he's not going to send missiles up anymore until through the meetings. Well, think of that. You know, we were getting a lot of missiles sent. I wouldn't say Japan was thrilled. Missiles flying over Japan. They're very happy with what I'm doing. And who else could do it? I mean, honestly, when you think. They're not going to send missiles up. Think of it. They're not sending missiles up. I believe that. I believe that. I really do. I think they want to do something. I think they want to make peace. I think it's time. And I think we've shown great strength. I think that's also important. Right? And I must tell you, President Xi of China has really helped us a lot. They've really helped us. And because 93% of the goods come in through China going into Korea, North Korea. 93%. So that's pretty powerful. And they've been very good. They could have done more, but that's okay. I say to them, you've been great. You could do more. But they've done a lot. They've done more. China has done more for us than they have ever done for any other president or ever done for this country. And I respect that. But the press for 2 hours is going, this is fantastic. This is amazing. A certain anchor on CNN, fake as hell, CNN. The worst. Oh, so fake. Fake news. And their ratings are lousy, by the way. And compared to Fox, their ratings... And a certain anchor, female, said, this is really something. He would go down as a truly great president if this happened. Okay, but all of them are saying, this is amazing, this is incredible. Did you hear what they just said? They just said denuke. They just said all of these things. They just said no more missiles. They said they want to meet with President Trump. They couldn't believe it. The worst of them, CNN, MSNBC, which is worse. I think I have a new MSNBC, third rate, and NBC, which is horrible. Their newscast, by the way, is not doing well. On NBC Network. They're heading down the tubes. But listen to this. I did The Apprentice on NBC for 14 seasons. I made a lot of money for them. We had a big, successful show. Arnold Schwarzenegger failed when he did The Apprentice, and he's a movie star. Martha Stewart failed when she did The Apprentice, and I just kept chugging along. Every year it was a big hit. I mean, I did The Apprentice, made them a lot of money, gave them good ratings when they were absolutely dying, and they do nothing but kill me. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible. But we can only do that if we elect people who are going to back our agenda and fight for our values. And that is why we have to defeat Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters, a very low IQ individual. You ever see her? You ever see her? We will impeach him. We will impeach the press. But he hasn't done anything wrong. It doesn't matter. We will impeach him. She's a low IQ individual. You can't help her. She really is. We will impeach him. But you have Maxine Waters, and you have plenty of others. And, I mean, Nancy Pelosi, you can't have that.
All right, that was the president from his speech in Pittsburgh. There's a big race tomorrow in the Pennsylvania 18th. And he was there advocating on behalf of that candidate on the Republican side. It's a weird district, I mean, because it's about to be redistricted more favorably for the Democrats. So we just got to wait and see what happens on that. At the end of the day, it was a weird primary where the third place candidate ended up getting at the top of the ballot. Very strange. But anyway, 800-941-SEAN. And everything the president's saying is true. Now, we're expecting an announcement tonight by the time we get on Hannity that the House Intelligence Committee has, in fact, finished their investigation into so-called Trump-Russia collusion. And my guess and my sources are telling me that, yeah, there's no collusion. None. What's the media going to do now? They're just going to hope and pray that Robert Mueller says it? Or they're going to help the Senate committee says it? Because they all talk to the same people. Anyway, and by the way, and that's why Adam Schiff said twice that there's no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion. All right, let's get to our phone. Susanna is in Pittsburgh. Were you at the rally on Saturday? Susanna, how are you?
Hi, Sean. Doing great. I was there when the president electrified the audience, and his supporters still love him deeply. But I want to tell you, this is what I've been calling the stop the impeachment election in Pittsburgh. What's happening across the country, Democrats, the mainstream media, leftist PACs are recruiting liberals, dressing them up as moderates or independents, and trying to get them in the House so that they can continue with this foolish impeachment process over no impeachable deeds that the president has done. So we really have to stop them from the moderate that they're, it's not even a moderate, he is a full left-wing Democrat. The one that they're pushing for Pittsburgh, he sat there and tried to act like, I'm not going to go in there, I'm going to take an oath, I'm not going to do it for Democrats or Republicans, no agenda, we've had it with agendas. So I wrote an article in the paper and I said, listen, his naivete is revealing that he's not competent for Congress right now because he's lying. He will go in there. He will take an agenda, and it's going to be the Democrat agenda. I replayed the whole debate that the Republican candidate had, and what this Democrat said is, I'm not taking any agenda, but I do want to bring back Obamacare and give it stronger teeth. I want to raise taxes. I want to increase spending and let the government be in charge of fixing the opioid crisis that they created. So this is a serious, serious election. It is the Democrats trying to get their people into the House so that they can continue this impeachment process for all those who are afraid of going to jail.
It's all that, too. But remember, it's also the president's gotten a lot of his agenda through in spite of the difficult circumstances and an abusively biased media. So, you know, I don't blame the president for attacking all of these fake news outlets. You know, it'll be very interesting tonight when we get the beginnings of this report. But the House Intel Committee is finished. I have been able to confirm this with their investigation. And we're going to find out exactly what it is that they found, if anything, on Trump-Russia collusion. Remember, that's what it was all about. That's all we've heard
exactly for
a full year. And I think we got a pretty big signal last week that Devin Nunes was right and that Adam Schiff was wrong. Because Adam Schiff is even admitting, we don't have the evidence yet. Nobody had the evidence. Then you got to ask yourself the question, all that coverage, all of those lies, and then they'll move to obstruction. And then when they're done with obstruction, then it's going to be, you know, 24/7 Stormy Daniels on these cable networks. Because they don't want the president. They've always wanted to delegitimize him. They never thought he'd win. He wins. They're angry. They fight back. And then it's been a never-ending effort to delegitimize and prevent him from doing his job. All right, Rich, South Carolina, next Sean Hannity Show. What's up, Rich?
I'm just amazed at the difference in coverage that the mayor of Oakland received and the outrage the press when she warned the felons of the potential arrest, versus the reaction that closing a single lane on the George Washington Bridge did when Chris Christie was governor. Pretty sure they're just announcing possibly putting people in jail for that all this time later, and yet there's nary a peep except maybe some congratulations to the mayor of Oakland. I'm not really sure how that
works. Let me tell you something. If you obstruct justice the way she, let's say you knew that there was a raid at the house next door to your house as a drug house where they sell drugs, and you find out, let's say you're a cop or you work in a police department, and you find out they're about to raid that house, and you go over there and say, hey, guys, you're about to be raided. What do you think's going to happen to you if they find out you did that?
I'll probably be charged, put in jail, among other things.
Probably, likely, 100% you're going to be put in jail. You know,
wouldn't need any congratulations. Probably be a big pain in the neck.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations. Now, look, the attorney general has been clear. He is going to follow the law. And I think when the Jeff Sessions that went out there and he was very clear that, in fact, they're not going to tolerate this, to me, that gets pretty interesting. I don't know what that means, though. It should mean, I'm in trouble legally. Anyway, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the money. Let's say hi to Doug is in Cincinnati, 55 KRC. What's up, Doug? How are you? Glad you called.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
I'm good. What's happening?
I want to make a comment about this Uranium One. And you guys are all over it, but I think what needs to be done, a special counsel needs to do a forensic examination of that transaction. This just smells. It just doesn't feel right. You know, why would, you know, the FBI, why would Mueller, why would Homeland Security, CIA, why would all these agencies agree to sell 20% of our uranium production?
Never made sense, did it? Still doesn't make sense. When we import 90% of our uranium, we don't have enough uranium.
Yeah, it makes no sense at all. And, you know, in the business world, if you want to find out what's going on, you follow the money. In D.C., inside the Beltway, you do the same thing.
Well, you follow the money, and it leads right into the pockets of Bill and Hillary Clinton, and it leads right into the pockets of the Clinton Foundation. That's where the money goes.
Well, you know, the $145 million, that's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
What happened to it after they got it?
Well, went into the Clinton Foundation, whatever the Clinton Foundation does with their money.
Well,
but there is an investigation coming out into all of this. And then my guess is, look, one thing we learned last week is that there is an investigation going on in the FBI field office in Arkansas as it relates to the Clinton Foundation. So we do have an investigation ongoing, which we hadn't been able to confirm. Now we have confirmed it. And now we understand that there are things going on that we never knew was happening. That's a good thing for all of us. All right. By the way, 800-941 Sean, News Roundup Information Overload Hour coming up at the top of the hour. All right. As we get back to our busy phones, WOKV, Ponte Vedra, Florida. Jules, next on the Sean Hannity Show. How are you?
Thank you, Sean. Actually, I'm kind of furious because my son's 8th grade homeroom teacher announced, and the principal confirmed by email, that the middle school students, quote, will be participating in the national walkout on Wednesday. Everyone is walking out of class, the entire 6th through 8th grades. Classes are shutting down. Everyone is walking out.
And so he has to participate whether he agrees or disagrees.
Exactly. Everyone has to walk out. Now, if parents object in advance, their kids will be, quote, relocated to an alternate classroom.
Oh, so they're going to be the weirdos that stand apart because they're not going along with the PC crowd. Is that it? Because they believe in the
exactly.
Second Amendment. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're spinning the whole thing. Oh, yeah. Even though they're holding it at the same time on the same date for the same 17 minutes. Oh, this has nothing to do with that political anti-gun protest. This is just a peaceful tribute to the students that lost their lives.
Well, it's their way to do it, but the fact that it's coinciding with all of the other activities. Look, I'm telling you, schools have become little homes of indoctrination for our kids. I mean, they go in
and,
there, they've got agendas.
And my son,
yeah.
Sorry, Sean, my son and many other students, many other parents feel the same way, will not be going to school on Wednesday, and I guess maybe we'll be having our own little walkout, won't we?
You know, look, I don't blame you. Honestly, I mean, they've become indoctrination centers for our kids. It's really too bad. The whole thing is outrageous. All right, 800-941-SEAN. Thank you, Jules. We appreciate the call. 800-941-SEAN. News Roundup Information Overload when we continue.
We'll say goodnight, but again, go out, vote for Rick. He'll never, ever disappoint you. He's a winner. He's never going to disappoint you. Just go out, vote with your hearts, vote with your brains. This is an extraordinary man. I'm going to be home watching the returns, and I hope that I have to make a call on Tuesday night where I speak to you and Young, and I say, great job, great race. The whole world, remember that. They're all watching. We want to keep it going. We want to keep the agenda, the Make America Great going. You got to get them in. This is a very important race. Very important. Thank you all. God bless you. We love you all. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, that was the president Saturday night in Pittsburgh, PA. That's the race for the 18th Congressional District, which, of course, goes off tomorrow. Donald Trump Jr. is there today. One interesting side note on all of this is, and I don't put a lot of stock in newspaper endorsements, but the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette's endorsement of the special election between Rick Sarcone and Connor Lamb may be worth paying attention to. Anyway, Pittsburgh is Pennsylvania's 14th congressional district, which is right next door to the 18th congressional district, which is where this Sarcone-Lamb showdown is now taking place. And of the two major Pittsburgh papers, it's by far the most liberal, and its presidential endorsements reflect that. I mean, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, they endorsed Kerry in 04, Obama both in 08 and 2012, and they didn't endorse anybody in 2016. And this year, the paper that refused to back even Donald Trump last year, and who did really well in the district, is now supporting, yes, the Republican candidate. So I think it's worth paying attention to. Anyway, they said if Mr. Lamb wins, it could well be the start of a Democratic wave. The prospect of the Democratic House may please partisans, but it might be bad for the country. Donald Trump Jr. is with us now. He's on the ground in the 18th District of Pennsylvania. How are you, sir?
How you doing, Sean? I'm great.
It's been a long time. All right, so how many styles? You mean, you just when you thought you were free, just when you thought you could get out of this rat race.
I thought I was getting back to my life, Sean, but I got the bug. I can't help it. But listen, I'm a business guy. I'm a business owner. I'm an American, and I'm a father, and I'm seeing all the things that's going on with DJT and what he's able to do in Washington, and how can you not fight for that? I mean, I'm in Canonsburg, Pennsylvania right now at Saris Candies, at a candy factory. So this is like, I need this for my diet, like a hole in the head. But amazing place.
What kind of candy do they make there?
400 full-time employees.
400?
They just put on 80 new full-time people. 80. So 20% more people since tax reform went through. I mean, so this is a small business that's seeing the benefits. They're hiring more people. I mean, this is the kind of entitlements I want to see. Jobs. Those are entitlements, not government dependency. And that's what we've seen from the other side. It's literally just dependence, dependence. They need that dependence. That's all they have. What are they going to run on if not for dependence? And so it's exciting to be back here. It's exciting to be on the road campaigning for Rick Sarcone. We just need our guys on the right. This is a district we won heavily, but we're happy, we're fat, and we're lazy. We got to realize that all of this stuff can go away like that. It can go away and be gone tomorrow if we let the Democrats and all their enthusiasm take over. So we got to get out. We got to vote. It does matter. All of this stuff matters.
Well, it matters in a lot of ways, you know, and people's memories are short. You know, if you remember all during 2016, and I remember your father in one of the interviews said to me, what are, you know, the numbers, the things that you say every night? But I made a conscious decision that I would remind everybody how bad the 8 years of Obama were. And it's real simple. 13 million more Americans on food stamps. Today, we have two fewer million since your dad's been elected. We had 8 million more in poverty. We had the lowest labor participation. Now we have the highest labor participation. We literally have created 3 million new jobs. We have over $500 billion now committed to new factories and manufacturing centers. This is a real recovery. We're now moving towards energy independence. We have a conservative on the Supreme Court. And, you know, elections do matter. And if Nancy Pelosi were to, God forbid, become speaker again in November, you know, all of that goes away. Every opportunity we've had to fix the country.
100%, Sean. And we've seen that, and that's why the Democrats are very good about a couple things. They're good at marketing. So they run these guys that are like sort of pretend conservatives, right? But then once they get there, they fall in line with Chuck Schumer. They fall in line with Nancy Pelosi, whether they're in the House or the Senate, respectively. And that's what happens. They run this game like, I'm basically a conservative. Like, I'm watching, like, wow, you can't even applaud all-time low unemployment. You know, so that's what happens. So they run as though they're pretend conservatives. They sell those credentials. And then they get there and they fall in line with the Chuck and Nancy's. And so our guys just have to know that if you're in Pennsylvania 18, get out and vote.
No, this is an important race.
You can't be satisfied with winning. The one promise of my father that he lied on was that he said that we would be sick of winning. I'm not sick of it yet.
We've
got to keep winning.
Well, until everybody gets a piece of it. I mean, the whole election was about the forgotten men and women in this country. Those were the people that I was just talking about that, you know, were in poverty, couldn't find work, out of the labor force, on food stamps, and literally would have been suffering in large part because of the failure of government. You know, there's a lot at stake, and I'm not even talking about foreign policy. You know, for all the fear of your father calling Kim Jong-un Little Rocket Man. Well, Little Rocket Man capitulated pretty much to everything your father wanted.
It seems to work. And that's what I see, Sean, all weekend. I hear all these conservatives. Well, I worked for 25 years on making peace with North Korea, and Trump is a disaster. I'm like, really? You worked for 20? So your life work is a total failure because you did nothing in 25 years. Now you have someone because they believe the threat is real. They know that you have a guy that's going to stand by what he says. You have a guy that's about action, not words. You have a guy that when he draws a red line, it actually means something. It's not a pretend red line that you can keep crossing over time and time again. And, you know, strength transmits. Weakness, the weakness that we projected for the last 8 years, the rest of the world saw it, and they took advantage of it, as they should have. I would have done the same thing if I was in their shoes.
Well, the bottom line is joint exercises are going to continue. He's not going to fire any missiles over Japan or Guam in the interim. And on the sanctions continue. Your father's relationship with China played a big role in this because China actually joined forces with us to put these sanctions, give some teeth to these sanctions. Yeah. And we might actually end up with a Korean peninsula that is denuclearized.
It'd be kind of nice, right? I mean, so for all their talk, for all their action, and frankly, all their talk and inaction for the decades prior to this, we actually have someone that's finally getting something done. So, you know, I want to make sure we elect guys like Rick Saccone who are actually going to follow what my father wants to do. They're going to follow his lead, and that's what it is. I mean, we finally have a leader, an actual leader, not just someone that the media will fawn over. But, you know, think about it. Imagine all of the wins that he's had, all of the things that he's accomplished. Imagine you did that without a vicious, just brutal, lying media attacking him every day without even some people on the right going after him, without the left wave. I mean, just imagine what he could do if he had a normal presidency, if he had a media that treated him like they did Obama, where he could do nothing wrong, everything was brilliant, despite, you know, the numerous failures. It'd be incredible. And so I think we have an incredible opportunity, but we just got to keep our guys in the game because, like I said, right now, they are sitting there saying, hey, we want on this, we want on that.
Well, I have some.
My family's great. We got to stay in the game, and we got to stay motivated. They got to show up even if DJT is not the person on the ticket himself because his actions.
Well, he needs the help. I mean, he can't do this on his own. We're expecting in the next hour that the House Intelligence Committee is going to announce that they have finished their investigation into Trump-Russia collusion. And my sources, which are pretty solid, are telling me that they are going to offer only initial findings and recommendations. But one of the biggest findings is there is no evidence that they have found of Trump-Russia collusion. Can you believe it after all this?
Sean, I'm shocked to hear that. I mean, I've been dealing with this garbage for 2 years. The only thing that's really actually nice about it for me, and you know this because I spoke to you, you were the first person I actually spoke to about it when all this nonsense happened. But the media, they needed it to be true because they couldn't figure it out. They had no idea what's going on. They were so far out of touch with real, ordinary, hardworking Americans. And the left, pretty much the same. And so, you know, the only thing that's nice about it was that the only collusion that I think it's found was that it was the Hillary campaign, along with the DNC, along with the top-tier guys at the FBI, not the boots-on-the-ground guys that actually do the real work, but the lawyers, you know, that sit in their offices on the seventh floor of the building over there. Those are the only people that did anything shady.
It really is amazing.
It'd be nice to get this out, but you know what? You know what the other side's going to do. They're going to drag this out. Whatever the findings, they're going to say it's a little bit inconclusive because they need to drag it out for the next 8 years. But it's okay.
Well, they're going to try, and if it's not that, they'll just manufacture something else. But, you know, for all of that talk and all of that coverage, you know, we got a pretty good indication last week when, for the second time, maybe it was the week before, where Adam Schiff, who's been on TV 275 times, literally auditioning.
He didn't like Sean.
Never met a camera he didn't like. But for 275 appearances, and you know, now saying twice, well, we don't really have actual evidence of it, was a pretty good indication where this was all headed.
That's interesting because that's not what he was saying before. You know, that's not what he was saying, almost in a matter of fact sort of way, because that's what it is. You know, he'll say whatever it takes to try to drive home a point. I mean, you know, if he was any better at PR, he'd actually be effective, but he's not. And, you know, you'll see it. He'll continue to do his thing. But, you know, the bottom line is that the entire left, the entire media enterprise, they all went all in on this nonsense notion. And, you know, frankly, I'm glad they did. Because if they didn't go all in, we would have never known what was going on at the FBI. We would have never known what was going on with the DNC. We would never have known that all these players are basically picking sides, trying to influence
Well, think of it this way. Let's look at it this way.
Scary stuff. And so I'm glad it came out, despite the fact that I've had to deal with it in a negative way for 2 years. But it's great to finally, you know.
Imagine though, Donald Trump.
I don't think it ever comes to an end, Sean. They'll drag this thing out forever.
Imagine your father was involved in rigging the primary like Hillary was. Imagine if it was your father that funded a phony, salacious, unverified, uncorroborated, and untrue dossier against Hillary Clinton, and then, you know, coordinated through the group she's paying with the media to leak these stories before the election and manipulate the American people, then imagine that that bought and paid for dossier was used to obtain a FISA warrant to spy on the Hillary campaign. Imagine any of this happening in reverse, what the reaction would be among the media and others.
You can't even imagine what it would be. I mean, you can't imagine what it would be, Sean. And you're
I've never seen anything like it. 30 years, Don. I know you're a little younger and better looking, but 30 years I've been doing this. Never have I seen.
A little younger, a lot better looking, Sean. That's okay. Come on.
You know, that's really offensive. I just want you to know. I take great offense at that. Well, so you're going to be on the ground. And look, the bottom line is this 18th congressional district race means a lot. Rick Saccone is the guy's name.
Our guys have to stay in the game. That's, you know, that's the biggest thing. If they stay in the game, if they show up and vote, we win easily.
Yeah.
You just got to get out there and do it. So, you know, I appreciate you letting me on, and I just, you know, urge you to get all your friends in Pennsylvania, all your friends who know people in Pennsylvania 18, get them out and do it. Just because DJT isn't on the ballot doesn't mean that
he's on the
accomplishments
ballot.
Aren't.
Well, everything that we want to have accomplished in the next 3 years are on the ballot. Everything.
Yep.
All right, Donald Trump Jr., thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. All right, as we continue, Sean Hannity Show, time for a couple of calls here. We've got, let's say, hi, in Fran in Florida. Fran, how are you? Glad you called. What can I do for you?
Well, hi, Sean. Thank you for taking my call. I live in Florida, and I'm very upset about this anti-gun bill disguised as a school safety bill that Governor Scott just signed.
I mean, what aspects of the bill don't you like?
Well, the parts I don't like, it imposes a 3-day waiting period on buying guns. It raises the legal age from 18 to 21, which is stupid. And it bans bump stocks. And honestly, I never even heard of a bump stock until Las Vegas. This bill does absolutely nothing to solve the problem.
Well, the problem with bump stocks, and nobody seems to understand it, is people can manufacture it in their homes with their computers. It's that. And I'm the only reason I'm saying is good people obey the laws. Bad people, by their very nature, don't obey the laws. That's how it is. So, I mean,
absolutely.
Look, the answer to me is security. And if you followed my model, which is that we do a complete threat assessment, security assessment for every school in the country, and then you make sure that you literally have the perimeter of every school secured. You have concealed carry, retired military, retired police hired, and metal detectors, ID system. I think you can make it 100% foolproof and not take away anybody's right to keep and bear arms. This case was a case where they missed every single sign and symptom of what can happen. So, I know it makes people feel good, but I don't think it's the answer. If we don't secure the schools, this is going to happen again. God forbid these you know, gun-free zones don't work.
Well, I mean, the only people that bring guns, don't bring guns to gun-free zones are the criminals, and I don't think the left understands that. But the other problem is that this Nicholas Cruz person, I think it was 30-something times, I don't remember the number, the sheriff's office and the FBI were warned about him, and they just ignored it. And if they would have just acted on one of those calls, this would have never happened.
Yeah, look, we had the FBI warned twice. We had 39 occasions where this kid's home was visited in a 7-year period. He couldn't bring a backpack to school. I mean, he almost took out a billboard in front of the school that said, "I'm the guy that's going to shoot up the school." And nobody did their job and intervened like they should have. People are told, see something, say something. Everybody saw it and everybody said it and nobody did anything. You just can't get any worse than that. And, you know, I understand people want to blame the weapon, but the worst school shooting was actually done with pistols. And that was the Virginia Tech shooting. So the next shooting, if let's say, God forbid, if it ever happens, it's done with pistols, we're going to be back at the same place, and we're going to be asking, why didn't we secure the schools? Because that's the answer. And also, kids with mental health problems need to be dealt with early. Grab them early. If you can't bring a backpack to school, there's signs that kid needs help badly. Quick break. We'll come back. Ollie North and your calls next half hour.
I would negotiate like crazy, and I'd make sure that we tried to get the best deal possible. Look, Tim, if a man walks up to you on a street in Washington, because this doesn't happen, of course, in New York, but if a man walks up and puts a gun to your head and says, give me your money, wouldn't you rather know where he's coming from before he had the gun in his hand? And these people in 3 or 4 years are going to be having nuclear weapons. They're going to have those weapons pointed all over the world and specifically at the United States. And wouldn't you be better off solving this really potentially unbelievable and the biggest problem? I mean, we can talk about the economy. We can talk about Social Security. The biggest problem this world has is nuclear proliferation. And we have a country out there in North Korea, which is sort of wacko, which is not a bunch of dummies, and they are going out and they are developing nuclear weapons. And they're not doing it because they're having fun doing it. They're doing it for a reason. And wouldn't it be good to sit down and really negotiate something, and ideally negotiate? Now, if that negotiation doesn't work, you better solve the problem now than solve it later, Tim. And you know it, and every politician knows it, and nobody wants to talk about it. Jimmy Carter, who I really like, and he went over there. It was so soft. These people are laughing at us.
The former general of the Air Force, Merrill McPeak, the former Secretary of Defense, Les Aspin, said you could not launch a preemptive strike against North Korea because the nuclear fallout could be devastating to the Asian Peninsula.
I'm not talking about us using nuclear weapons. I'm saying that they have areas where they're developing missiles.
No, but taking out their nuclear
potential would create a fallout. Tim, do you know that this country went out and gave them nuclear reactors, free fuel for 10 years? We virtually tried to bribe them into stopping, and they're continuing to do what they're doing, and they're laughing at us. They think we're a bunch of dummies. I'm saying that we have to do something to stop.
But if the military told you, Mr. Trump, we can't do this.
Give me two names. You're giving me two names. I don't know. You want to do it in 5 years when they have warheads all over the place, every one of them pointing to New York City, to Washington, and every one of our... Is that when you want to do it? Or do you want to do something now? You better do it now. And if they think you're serious, I deal with lots of people. If they think you're serious, they'll negotiate, and it'll never come to that.
So that was Donald Trump in 1999 and the president not being fearful and taking on little Rocket Man. After little Rocket Man, you know, keeps talking about his big red button, the president reminded him his is bigger and his actually works, unlike some of the missiles that were fired. A big development, you know, somebody said to me, she said, well, Hannity, you didn't want Barack Obama. Barack Obama's an appeaser. Donald Trump, I can promise you, is not going to end up with a deal like Bill Clinton did with Kim Jong-il, Kim Jong-un's father, where we end up funding, you know, in that case, $3+ billion in fuel subsidies and everything else. And on top of, you know, who would ever give the mullahs in Tehran $150 billion and allow them to continue to spin their centrifuges? And these are the people that are chanting death to Israel, death to America, and warning America that they're going to blow us into smithereens. Colonel Oliver North is with us. Colonel, you've been watching the media coverage. By the way, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Media coverage is laughable. I mean, it's sad because you and I are in the business, but all of our colleagues that are out there bad-mouthing this deal are the same ones that went after Ronald Reagan for walking away at Reykjavik. You remember this? 1986, the whole deal was convincing Ronald Reagan he had to give up Star Wars. In other words, the Strategic Defense Initiative. And if he didn't do that, it would be a bad summit. And, of course, immediately after he walked away from it, saying, we're not giving it up, it's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, we're done. And he walks out the door. And Gorbachev is stunned. And the American media was stunned. And all they did was badmouth the whole deal. Look, what you just said is very important. This president is not Barack Obama. He's not Neville Chamberlain in 1938. That's number one. Number two, he's not going to agree to a bad deal. No nukes, no ICBMs, or no deal. Number three, if the North Koreans don't agree, and it to be run by somebody else, not just Kim Jong-un, he's going to have to take this to his Politburo. And if he doesn't agree, and the Politburo doesn't agree, no one is ever going to be able to say that Donald Trump didn't try everything short of war, which, by the way, is one of the reasons the naysayers are out there. Because nobody likes anything better than just talking and talking and talking. And as you just pointed out, they took enormous advantage of Bill Clinton. Remember Mattie Albright doing the Macarena?
Oh, my God.
So embarrassing.
That was embarrassing.
Humiliating to the United States of America. And this president's not, that's not going to happen with this president and Rex Tillerson as Secretary of State. I mean, this is a very, very positive. It's all positives for our president.
Apparently, Rex Tillerson, though, didn't even know about the deal, which shows I'm sure they talked about it. But, you know, they're not just talking about him stopping testing. They're talking about denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
Exactly right. And I'll tell you what. Anybody who had been paying attention, doesn't matter where you are in the government of the United States, this president has talked about, as you just pointed out, going all the way back to 1999 when nobody thought he was going to be president of the United States. He's constantly said the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
So here's a couple of rules for this whole negotiation. Number one, they're all three words. They're all three words. Peace through strength.
Mm-hmm. Trust but verify.
No. Distrust and verify.
Yeah, that's true.
Number three. Read my lips.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Number four, from this president, expect the unexpected. This it shocked everybody. Now, when Rex Tillerson says he doesn't know, I cannot believe, knowing how the communication system works when a Secretary of State is on the road, I cannot, in my wildest imaginings, not believe that somebody didn't send a message. Probably John Kelly sent a message out to the traveling party, and because Rex Tillerson was sick, remember this?
Mm-hmm.
Rex Tillerson was not feeling well. They didn't hand it to him and say, in 15 minutes or in 2 days or in 3 days, whatever it's going to be, he's going to do this. And it's because the State Department people, all they wanted to do was negotiate. Look at all the press that we've seen over the last 4 or 5 months, where the press and our colleagues in the media were reporting all the Americans want to do is open negotiations. That's not what Americans want to do. Americans want no nukes and ICBMs on the Korean Peninsula. And mm-hmm. Donald Trump's been crystal clear about that since the very beginning. And so for anybody to say that, they're working against this president when those kinds of words come out. I think it's entirely possible.
It's possible Tillerson what?
I think it's entirely possible Rex Tillerson's party was sent the word, given the information. And, of course, Rex Tillerson's been paying attention for over a year now. So, yes, I'm expecting the unexpected.
Yeah.
There's no reason why anybody should not have expected this, but in Donald Trump's case, the media doesn't get it. And unfortunately, too many of the, quote, professionals in our State Department, our Defense Department, and certainly the CIA just don't get it.
What is it about the left that they think that they can bribe murdering dictators and dictatorial regimes into liking us? You know, that's Bill Clinton, you know, literally bribed Kim Jong-un's father. And the promise was they'd never get a nuclear weapon. Well, they got one. And the same naivete existed. I can't believe a president of the United States gives the radical mullahs in Iran the chant death to America and death to Israel and burn our flag and burn the Israeli flag, that you think giving them $150 billion, allowing them to continue to spin their centrifuges, but please don't make a nuclear weapon, somehow is going to make them like us more.
Because progressives, as they call themselves, have this mindset of utopian global delusion. And that delusion is that America is too powerful. Look at Barack Obama wrote to two terms on this. America is too powerful. We're too arrogant. We tell people what to do, and we're only interested in what happens to us. Duh.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, those utopian globalists who have led us to believe, or tried to lead the American people to believe, that we really were too powerful, have voted a vote of no confidence in that idea when they elected President Trump. It will never be back as long as he's president.
I agree. You know, one thing that I think the media doesn't understand is that Trump actually means what he says. And I think there's one other factor in this whole North Korean thing that nobody really brings up is that, you know, his relationship that he's been able to forge with the Chinese president, and maybe I'm the only one that noticed that all these meetings that were supposed to last 10 and 15 minutes ended up going on for hours and hours and hours with the Chinese president. I heard the president, he told me the story about the night that he bombed Syria. He was having dinner with the Chinese president, leaned over and said, by the way, I think I want to tell you this is about to happen. And and they found agreement on what the president was doing. So it seems to me that is an underreported story that, you know, we're not going to change China and their political philosophy or ideology. And I don't think we're going to change a lot of countries in the Middle East either.
Well, as we now know, President Xi expects to be president for life because their Politburo just modified in their party, took the entire party to vote on it, just modified the term limits that were instituted right after Mao. They never wanted to see another dictator. Well, guess what? They've now got a dictator. Xi looks at this through the eyes of a man who intends to be in office for a long time. And years from now, you and I can look back in the history of this, and we're going to find that the Chinese looked at what was going on and said, long-term, short-term, doesn't matter. Long-term especially, it's a bad thing if there's a nuclear war. It's a bad thing if the Koreans have a nuclear war and precipitate it, and therefore somebody either put the arm up the Politburo, my guessing, because they all lose power if Xi loses power. The Politburo convinced Xi. Xi looks at it and picks up the phone, or makes a sidebar comment through communications means and tells Kim, the time is now. Mm-hmm. Give it up.
So I have a
dead man.
I'm told that in less than an hour that the House Intel Committee is going to announce that they have finished their investigation and they are putting out an initial report, the investigation into Trump-Russia collusion. There are other, other parallel investigations going on, like FISA abuse and some other things. But I am told from a pretty reliable source that they are going to say as part of their initial findings tonight that there is no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion, which doesn't surprise me one bit. But I would expect that the media won't be reporting that as passionately as they reported everything else regarding this issue.
I think you're dead spot on that one, buddy. Look, it should have been over months ago. There never has been any evidence that I've seen, certainly none that the rest of the world has seen, of any collusion by the Trump campaign with anybody outside the government of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
The problem right from the get-go, and I still think it's yet to come out, is how deeply embedded Russian disinformation was in support of Hillary Clinton. It was orchestrated by the Clinton campaign. It was worked through people like Assange and WikiLeaks. But the idea blaming it on Trump is because they did it. They colluded. They colluded all the way back when
that's the whole dossier
was being done. Exactly. The whole thing.
Yeah. And just before
I wouldn't be at all surprised if it doesn't come out someday that Steele is a double agent.
Nothing would surprise me.
Just today, Prime Minister May came out and said that the two Russians, one of them was a double agent, the other one was his daughter, exchanged as spies, that the double agent that is near death in England right now was poisoned with nerve agent that was developed only by the Russians. Now, how did it get there? I'll tell you this. All over the UK and probably all over here are stay-behind packages that have been left by the KGB and now handed over to the SVR. Mm-hmm. I would not be at all surprised if one of them didn't go get a vial of that stuff, put on their rubber gloves, and walk up and shake hands with the guy.
Pretty scary, isn't it? All right,
it
quickly, I'm going to have to let you go, but you're going to Normandy with the Freedom Alliance. What are you doing?
Yes, we're going to cruise down the Seine River from Paris to Normandy, and this is a great opportunity. We've only got about 20 cabins left. We got the whole boat. It's a gorgeous boat, 9 through 16 August. And think about this. What a great Valentine's gift to give to the woman you love or the man you love. It's a wonderful opportunity. I wish you could join us. I've already checked. I know you can't, but it's going to be a wonderful time. And we're going to the entire ship is nothing but Freedom Alliance supporters.
That's amazing. But, well, good for you. I wish I could go. I wish I could do a lot of things. I have to work every day.
I know you do, buddy. And I feel for you. And I appreciate
you don't feel for me. You're absolutely lying.
I do. You guys spent 3 summers together doing nothing but concerts every weekend that you would add off. FreedomAlliance.org/cruise, or just go to FreedomAlliance.org. It's going to be a wonderful time. These things are just magnificent experiences for everybody. And it's a fundraiser for Freedom Alliance. We don't raise quite as much as you could at a concert.
We've tried our best, and I know they're still doing a lot of good work. And we love the Freedom Alliance, and I hope people join you on that trip to Normandy. When do they have to sign up by?
Well, they need to get it. It's going to go quick. It's going to fill up. And your friends are my friends, and you and I have done a lot together. You've done so much so generously with your time, treasure, and talent to help these American heroes.
Well, we're going to put a link up on my website to make it easier for everybody on Hannity.com.
There you go.
All right?
That'll work.
All right. Have a great time.
Buddy.
All right, my friend. Safe home. We appreciate you. Colonel Oliver North, what a great American. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. We are following a number of stories tonight. We expect the House Intel Committee should be announcing that the investigative part of their probe is complete. And we're also expecting initial findings to show zero evidence of Trump-Russia collusion. Well, how are the Democrats and the media going to deal with that? Also tonight, we'll have the latest on the series of three bombings, mail bombings in Austin, Texas, and all the other news of the day that's coming up tonight. Set your DVR. Big night tonight, 9 Eastern, Hannity on the Fox News Channel. And we'll see you back here tomorrow. See you tonight.